Going a little multi-sensory today, as good pedagogy goes, trying to hit all the learners. Last week, we laid the foundations for our beliefs about God. We looked at what the Baptist Faith and Message says about God, the attributes that He has, and all the wonder and might that is meant when we utter this holy name. And I said the most important question that man can answer or must answer is, who is God? This week we're looking at a second question, a 1A, and that question is, who am I? Who am I? Who are you? People all over the world struggle to answer this question, who am I? Billions struggling through lives of emptiness because they never find a satisfactory answer to that question. Look at the person next to you right now and say, who are you? Responses may vary. When I'm telling you to ask that, I'm not asking for that person next to you, though, to tell you their name or something they're good at, but who you are, mind, body, and soul. And there are many ways to answer this question, but there are two primary ways that people tend to answer this question. And their answer to this question is related to how they answer last week's question. Who is God? One of the major ways that people answer that question is to say there is no God. And so through that worldview, they define everything else in life. And so man is an evolved creature, they say. Because they don't believe in a creator God, they put out this view that all the world was created from a great cosmic accident. Billions of years ago, where one spot in the universe exploded without any active cause, and that explosion created all the environment and matter needed to form stars and planets and galaxies. Then over billions of years, in a continual random turn of events here on Earth, non-organic, non-living chemicals began to bond and create amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein in our body. And then over the course of more billions of years, this primordial ooze, as they refer to it, developed into animals that could move and crawl out of this ooze and onto this randomly formed land. And through several billion more years, developed into different species based on genetic traits that randomly appeared and helped animals survive. This, of course, led to the evolution of apes and to man, who is the pinnacle of this evolution, though no shared ancestors can be found, and there are still apes of several different kinds that exist. And those that hold to this view, they call us fools for our faith in a creator God. When they hold to theories of random causation and chaos as the creator of all life, which, I ask you, takes more faith? What takes more faith to believe? We see today the result of this humanist worldview. See, it's not hard to kill little children when they are in your worldview, they are just hyper-developed chemicals. It's very easy to decide that the disabled aren't worthy to live when you think only superior genes were meant to survive anyway. This week alone, I've heard people say and seen people post on social media that it's better for a child to die than to live in poverty, than to struggle. It's better for them to die than to struggle with parents that have a hard time taking care of them. I ask you, what then does that mean for people in third world countries? Should we simply wipe out the whole country because they struggle from day to day to survive? Do they all deserve to die? And we all have a hard time taking care of our children. They are little crazy balls of sin at times. But they deserve to live. Because we aren't just souped up gorillas. We aren't products of chaos's chemistry. Say, who am I? You are God's special creation. And that's the second way, the most primary way to answer that question, that you are the creation of an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, holy, loving, and righteous God. That is who you are. Whether you admit it or not, that is true. We know that because God's Word lays it out clearly for us. If you'll turn with me this morning to Genesis 1, 26 through 30, and it'll be on the screen behind me as we go. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. Let us pray. Father, how great are you that you say, "I will make man in my image," and as those last words say, "And it was so." You said it and you did it, and we are all here today hearing your word, marveling at your greatness because you created us. And Father, we don't have to understand the whys and the hows of how all that came to be. We simply know that you did it. And you did it because you wanted to. Father, as we hear this, as we see who we are, who you created us to be, Father, let us not look to ourselves for purpose. Look to ourselves to define who we are. Let us see that we are defined by you who made us, our creator, our sustainer, and that our life is all due to you. And so we must obey everything you call us to do. Father, I pray that we will see that, rejoice in that, marvel in that, and stand in awe that our God has created us. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 2:7 tells us how we were made. It says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." I thought it might benefit us to have a visual representation of somebody made out of dust. This is Play-Doh, but dust of the ground. And so I created little Patrick here. Say hello to little Patrick. And I am in no way God, and I do not want that to appear there, but I just wanted us to have something visual to see what it means to be God's creation and how sin has impacted that. And as we work through this Baptist faith and messages, we look at the foundations of our faith. We come today to Article 3, which is man. And in the world that we live in, where we are considered really smart apes, we must answer the question, who am I, from a biblical point of view. And this Baptist faith and message, it gives us this biblical answer to that question. And so as I read through this article, when I say man, I want you to say, "That's me." Okay, we'll give it a practice run. Man. There you go. Y'all are head of the class. All right, here we go. Let's throw that slide up there for me. Man is the special creation of God, made in his own image. He created them male and female as the crowning work of his creation. The gift of gender is thus part of the goodness of God's creation. In the beginning, man was innocent of sin and was endowed by his creator with freedom of choice. By his free choice, man sinned against God and brought sin into the human race. Through the temptation of Satan, man transgressed the command of God and fell from his original innocence, whereby his posterity inherited a nature and an environment inclined towards sin. Therefore, as soon as they are capable of moral action, they become transgressors and are under condemnation. Only the grace of God can bring man into his holy fellowship and enable man to fulfill the creative purpose of God. The sacredness of human personality is evident in that God created man in his own image and in that Christ died for man. Therefore, every person of every race possesses full dignity and is worthy of respect and Christian love. Every place that man has said could be us. You could say, why did Adam do that? You'd have done the same thing. We are no different. And it is in this biblical definition that I think we can see five clear answers to the question, who am I? First, you are made by God. You are made by God. The all-powerful and all-knowing God that we studied last week said he was going to make man, and he did. Genesis 1:21 says, so God created man. Doesn't that just blow your mind? He could create anything. Anything. He spoke light. He created the land. He created all the animals of the world. And then he said, I need man. I need you. Capable of anything. But he chose to make us. You are not an act of randomness. You were not created from chaos. You are not an accident, no matter what your parents say. You were made with a purpose. And I molded this Play-Doh into this little fat guy because I had in mind what I wanted to do. God had you in mind. He had you in mind. He has always had you in mind. All of the over 7 billion people on earth and all those that have been aborted for being less than life, he had those in mind at creation. He created us because he wanted to. It's not random that you are who you are. It's not an accident. It is divine providence. Jeremiah 1:5. God tells Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We are not all made to be prophets, as Jeremiah, but God knows us all, and he says it even prior to conception. He knows you, and he forms you together. And as created by God, all life is precious, regardless of the struggle that may exist in its environment. Your life may stink. You may struggle from day to day, but life is but a mist. If every day for 100 years your life is terrible, you struggle to get up and lie down, but you have faith in God, every day will be worth it for the eternity of glory that you receive forever. The struggle will fade, but eternity will last forever, and you'll spend it in your Savior's arms. And you might say, well, that's not fair. God, you shouldn't act that way. You shouldn't create things that are going to have to struggle. You see this little Play-Doh guy right here? I made him. I created him. He's mine. I'll do whatever I want to with him. It doesn't matter what you say I can do with him. He's mine. I made him. That's the same thing that is true of life. A great, all-powerful, all-knowing God gets to do whatever he wants to do. He gave you life. He created you. He's the one that breathes breath into us. He can do whatever he wants to. Give you life, make you well, have you come home to him? Have you struggle in a third world country? He can do whatever he wants because he created you. I know parents like to say that, right? Like, I'm your mama. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. They were only part of the equation that God put together, though. God, not your mothers or fathers, but God, who knew us all before conception, He is the absolute authority on what is right and wrong for us. And He makes those decisions, and He is not accountable to us. Which is a tremendously good thing, because people are wicked. And if it was left to us, we would kill everybody, apparently. He is perfect in all of His ways. He is perfect in love and righteousness, and He wants good for us, even if we can't see it. So that's the first answer to that question. Who are you? You are made by God. And in that process, there's number two, you are made like God. Genesis 1:27 continues. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. You are made like God or in His image. Say, I'm special. Indeed, you are. Mankind is unlike any other part of creation. We are specially made by God. He set us over all the rest of creation, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every other living thing that moves on the earth. We are the pinnacle of creation. When God made us, He said, it is very good. We are that pinnacle because God endowed man alone with the spiritual capacity to know and worship Him. We alone can do that. All of creation glorifies God. The heavens declare the glory. That little snail that you stepped on accidentally coming in today, he declares the glory of God, but only we know what that means. My little fat guy here, he kind of looks like me. But that's all I could do to show something being made in my image. But our being made in God's image isn't that we look like God. God is spirit. But it's that we have inherent behaviors and aspects of our beings that are like God. Ours are limited, whereas His are perfect, but they are there. For instance, He created us as a Trinity. We are mind, body, and soul. Mind being our psychological self, the body being our physical self, and our soul being our spiritual self. All three in one. There's no other part of creation like us. We have a moral consciousness. Romans 2:15 says that our conscience bears witness against us. For we know what is right and what is wrong, and we choose wrong. We choose rebellion. We choose disobedience. And we know better. It's written on our hearts. And in addition to this consciousness, being made like Him also means that we're made relational. We have this never-ending internal desire to be in relationship with God. It's not hard to look around our world and see that people are struggling to find this relationship. Because they're trying to fill it with everything else. They always feel like they're missing something. Maybe you're here today and that's a father figure that you never had. Maybe it's a husband because you've been lonely for so long. Maybe it's a child that you prayed for. Maybe it's to feel loved for the first time in your life. Those are all good things, but ultimately they fall short of God. And we see people when they can't find this satisfaction in those things, which you never will. No husband will ever make you whole. No wife will ever make you whole. They don't complete you. Only God does that. But when you get that thing and you still fall short, then we see people just fill their lives with so many other things like drugs and sex and alcohol. And when that is not good enough, we see suicide rampant among us because we are missing the one thing that we need more than anything else, a relationship with our Creator. You are not missing a person. You are missing your heavenly Father. And He created you to desire that relationship with Him. If that's you today and you've tried to fill your life with all these things, stop fighting. Stop seeking something else. Stop looking for a replacement and just be His. Because nothing in this world will fill the longing of your soul except the one that created you, mind, body, and soul. Because He made you that way. He rigged it. He's got this under control. He made it that way. And His purpose in making you that way for that relationship was for His glory. That's number three. Say glory. Glory. You were made for God's glory. I made this little guy to show you today. He's not great. I'm telling you, there's some artistic people here. He's not great. Now, but I may be hopeful somebody might say, hey, it's not too bad. He kind of looks like a person. Heard he looks like a person on a cheese grater, but he looks like a person. But God doesn't desire compliments. He deserves all glory. And all the perfect attributes that we talked about last week, He alone is worthy of glory. And His glory is why He made us. His glory is the public display of His perfect and infinite beauty and worth. There is nothing higher than God. When we acknowledge that and live that out, He is glorified. We can hear. He tells us that we are made for His glory. Isaiah 43, 5 through 7. He says, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. In this scripture, God is talking to the Israelites and He's telling His chosen people that He loves them and He's for them and He wants them to come to them and He's made them special for a purpose. When I said you are special, you are. You were specially made for God's glory, because while all creation declares it, we are able to participate in it. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. And His creating us for His glory means, according to John Piper, He created us to display His glory. That is, that His glory might be known and praised in all the world. That is why He made us. Because mankind alone is capable of knowing and praising God. It is the point of all of our missions. Gracie Mazingo is in Uganda so that God's glory will be on display there. This whole holy book as we know it, that is the point, that we know and that we love God. And that more and more and more come to know and love Him. That's the purpose for your life. You don't have to wonder, why did you make me, God? You don't have to wonder what He's called you to do. You were created in God's image to be an ambassador for Him on earth. That is the purpose of your life. It is the why in our vision. We are to make disciples of all people in all places to the glory of God. That is the why behind it all. And He is glorified when you live out your faith, when you share your testimony, when you serve the least of these in His name. See, Adam and Eve were blessed by God to display His glory over the whole world through their obedience to Him and what He called them to do, to go and to oversee all the world, to bring their dominion over Him. And He made them to do that forever. He made them to do that forever. And that's the number four. You are made to last forever. You are made to last forever. Our special creation as image bearers who glorify God was not meant to be a limited edition. Adam and Eve could have lived forever in relationship with God. But no, they had to mess it up. But that doesn't take away the fact that we were still made to live forever and to understand that eternity is real. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We can all, in some way, grasp the reality of eternity, that it is true. Not that we understand how long that is, we can't comprehend that, but that we know that eternity is real. God doesn't make us wander blindly through life, but with the truth that every person that you meet will live forever. You've never met a person that will die and that's it. You've never made one. That's why we push, who's your one? We push living sent. We push you going and sharing the gospel, because everybody that you meet has an eternal destination. God's original creations were meant to spend the eternity with God. But He knew they would disobey, and He had already had a rebellion among the angels, and so He created hell, where eternity is experienced in torment and suffering, a right punishment for those that reject the infinite God. Yeah, all those that we meet, all those that gather here will live forever, either with God or in hell, separated from God for all eternity in pain and anguish. And that reality, it came to be for all mankind because of the sin of our ancient mother and father, Adam and Eve, who committed the first sin, the first act of rebellion against a holy God, when Satan enticed them to be like God by eating from the fruit of the one tree that God commanded them not to eat. And in that moment, sin entered the world. But it didn't just surprise God. We said last week, He is an omniscient, all-knowing God. So it didn't catch Him by surprise, but it did alter the image of God on us. It didn't remove it. You were still image bearers, even in sin, but it distorted it. It distorted it. It was no longer what it was meant to be. Kind of like this paint is distorting the image of this guy, except for our sin penetrates to the innermost parts of our being. And now all those that are born carry this same curse of sin. We all sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And as eternal souls, we are destined for hell in our sin. There is nothing we can do about it. We're stuck in this distortion. You could wash and wash and wash and it just won't come off. We are stuck in that distortion. And so you say, what was the point in making us then, God? What make people just to send them to hell? What's the point in that? Well, He knew that we were going to sin, and so He had a plan. He had always had a plan. He continues to allow people to be born. He continues to allow us to live as sinners, because although we can do nothing to remove sin, He can, and He did. He did for all those that believe. And that is our last point, the last answer. You are made to die for. You are made to die for. Sin has corrupted you as an image bearer. It has destroyed your relationship with God. It has destined you for hell, yet it is washed away in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. You might feel today like nobody cares about you, like you're in life all alone, like your sin is the only thing that you have. You might feel like you're too far gone to ever put your faith in God, for Him to ever love you. You may feel like you've been acting like a Christian for so long, for so many years, that to come clean now would destroy you. To admit that you've been living this lie would destroy you. And I want you to hear this. God made you to die for. God knew you before you were conceived. He knew every decision and sin that you would commit, and yet still here you are. Why? Because even with the knowledge of all that, Jesus Christ died in your place. The Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings died a cursed death on a tree under the wrath of God for you, for me. Romans 5:8 tells us that. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's love for us. And no matter how distorted and corrupted sin has made you, faith in Jesus washes away every sin, and they are forgiven past, present, and future. All of the things that hold you so tightly in that one moment, in that one time, were all washed away. Some of the remnants remain, and we still struggle to break loose from our sinfulness. We still have a distorted image, and we will carry that with us until we get back. But we are made for His glory. We are made. And we are saved through Him. Saved through Him. As God opens your eyes to the reality of sin and the need for Jesus, as you come to faith, you are made new. You no longer have to walk in the sins of your past. You no longer have to hold on to the sins of others that have held you back. No, in Christ you are new. Sin will call to you as the remnants remain, as you have these places where it will not come out of, as you are still living in this corrupted world. But in Christ, you can fight your whole life against that corruption. In the Spirit, you have the power to do that. And as the Spirit moves you, you will be transformed back into the perfect image that you once held, fully realizing that perfection as you cross into the presence of God in glory. And I pray that you have been made new today. I pray that you have understood who you are, that you are made by God, that you are made like God, that you are made for His glory, made to last forever, and made ultimately to die for. And if you know that, who do you know that needs to know that? Who do you know that needs to know who they can be in Christ? Because God's Word said you were made for His glory. And you'll never display His glory more than being obedient to go and make disciples as Christ commanded in His last days. So engage your neighbor in a spiritual conversation. Pour into your children as they rise up and as they lie down. Teach them. Start a Bible study with your coworkers. Send a Bible verse to a friend that's struggling. Do something in obedience to His commands to display His glory. The Harmony Baptist Church, in His glory, let us make Jesus' last commandment our daily focus. And in so doing, live out the fact that we are His. Let us pray. Father in heaven, You love us in spite of ourselves. Father, You've made us in Your image. And Father, today somebody here has never fully recognize that. Somebody here needs to fall on their faces and, Father, commit themselves to You and so be moved closer to that perfect image that we will all one day see in glory. So I pray that You move, Father, as only You can. May Your Spirit speak into their hearts, Father. Move them to salvation. Drive them to their knees to say, I need you and nothing else. And Father, for those that are here that are struggling, that sin has nested in, and those wrinkles that it just finds its strongholds in, Father, I pray that they would give those places, search them, Father, and see. May your light penetrate the darkness of their hearts, and they be made more and more like your precious Son. Father, let us not depart without laying ourselves at your cross in pure and holy worship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.